Rick's Friends. Hey, everybody. Hey, Stan. Welcome to Hobbs and Friends. I am your host, Jason Hobbs. And I hope there isn't any confusion, but I have a fantastic episode planned for you today. It is indeed a drink, spin, run reunion. And people who are familiar with that show, these guys don't need a, what's that thing? Oh, yeah, introduction.
Introduction, yeah.
But for those who aren't, I would like to introduce the blogger from Dispatches from Kickassistan, the ministry person, or is that the minister?
Minister? I suppose, yeah.
Okay, all right. one of the authors of The Metal Gods of Ur-Hadad and a host of Drink Spin Run, Adam Miskevich.
Holy shit, he said it right. Oh.
I've always known how to say it. I just don't usually on purpose.
I know. That's why I'm amazed. I'm not used to you doing things right on purpose. It's amazing.
Yeah, normally I do things right on accident.
That's exactly the case. Yeah.
All right. And our other guest is, he's been on the show many times already, author of Dead Planet, another host of DSR, and I think he's working on some cleric book, Don Stroud. How's it going, Don?
Hey, Drink Spin Run.
You already did that earlier.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for having us on, Hobbs. This is a great idea.
I would say I was drunk one night and decided it was time for a Drink Spin Run reunion, but it's almost been a year since I drank, so that isn't the case any longer.
So you're going to have a really boring answer later on. You're going to have answer later on, right?
mine will be a little better than Ray's, but pretty close, actually. Okay. So, Don, do you want to talk about this cleric book briefly? Or,
yes.
Or Mothership or Dead Planet, I guess?
Yeah, I'll talk about all that stuff. Wait, is this a swearing podcast? I forget. This is only my fourth
Whenever you are on the show, it is a swearing podcast. Yes.
All right, great. So let's start off with Dead Planet. I was an author on that along with Fiona and Sean McCoy. And that is put out by Tuesday Night Games. It was an adventure module for Mothership, the sci-fi horror RPG. And I'm out of practice. Did you hear all those ums? Hopefully.
Yeah, that's a lot. Where's your mic? And where's your mic discipline? Get right in front of that thing.
I think we're used to it. I think we're used to it, Don.
And then the cleric book is titled, I think, Lesser Key to the Celestial Legion.
Nice.
And that should be out in 3 weeks under my own little company that I'm starting called Psychoda. Nice. Yes.
Yeah, it is fantastic. I'm glad that you said something after little that wasn't what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Thank you.
What'd you say? Encoded Press? Is that what you said?
Psychoda Press.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. So far it's only on Facebook.
But right, yeah, so we won't have it. No, I'm just kidding.
2 to 3 weeks from now, I'm thinking we're about to have layout done. It's going off to Joseph Goodman because it's going to be compatible with DCC. It should be fun. It's 48-50 pages right now. A nice generator to build crazy angels and then some weird rules for your clerics and some tables that generate relics and saint stuff. It's like if you took the Catholic religion cult, I don't know what it is, and then made it kind of crazy.
All right. I've actually used it a little bit, and the Mr. Hobbs's Gamerhood used it in the 5e game that we did earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
And some of that stuff. So we'll be looking forward to that, Don. So, Adam, it's been a while since you've blogged or wrote any Metal Gods things.
Well, that's not true.
Oh, okay. Since you've published any Metal Gods things.
Yeah, so this year's looking like 3 issues of Metal Gods.
Awesome.
4 is done. 5 is on its way. And 6 or 4 is done, writing wise. 5 is about completely outlined and about 50% written. And then 6 is outlined and about 20% written. Issue 4 is going to be the, basically the impetus is to get this all done by February. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but on Kickstarter, February, they're doing a big emphasis on RPG zines.
Nice. No, I didn't know that.
So the goal is to have all 3 written by the start of February, do a Kickstarter for those 3 issues. Not I actually need the Kickstarter to publish it, but you know, it's press, you know, or not press, but, you know, it's exposure. It's, you know, putting it in front of people who might not know about Metal Gods right now, you know. But issue four is about like a lot of the crises that have happened in Ur-Hadad that you gentlemen have been part of, some of them, especially Hobbs. Issue five is Murder Gangs of Ur-Hadad. And then issue six is Mysterious Gods of Ur-Hadad.
Awesome, man. Is this like the first place that people will be hearing about the return to Ur-Hadad?
First public statement to that effect. There was a teaser in Doug Kovacs's Instagram feed like the other day, because he posted a bunch of work he's working on, and he's doing the cover of issue four for us.
Mm, nice. I think I might have seen that.
That's the goal for five and six as well, is to find or to work with some artists we've been meaning to work with for some time, do something new and different. You know, Wayne's still obviously going to be really involved, and, you know, still want Edgar involved too. This is probably news to him because I've just been working on it, you know, but I still got to have the old guys, the old team involved, especially, you know, Wayne's, you know, been kicking out some art for it already for issue four. But he knows about five and six, but he hasn't seen any of the writing for it yet.
Cool. Exciting. I want to edit again, man. You haven't had me since issue one.
That's right. No, two. It was issue two.
Issue two.
Hey, I was in two, right?
You were in two as well. Yeah. Both of you guys have written for.
Yeah, if you need some more writing, let me know. But now I only write for money.
Oh my goodness, not me. No one wants to pay me for writing.
Well, it's nice. What's nice is that right now, because of page count restrictions, like I'm trying to keep every issue down in page count so that it can be cheap, so everybody can afford it, right? So there's two things that we're doing right now. We're doing the three new issues, and that'll probably be our 2019. Is three issues. You know, that's enough in a year. And I know people might not think that, but that's really enough for us. And that's what we did in our first year. And then we basically took like a 3-year break and now we're back at it. That 3-year break's name is Stanley, and he's right on the other side of this bookshelf behind me that you guys can't see because we don't have video chat going. But I had a point that I was making here, and then I got derailed on the Stanley thing.
Huh. I don't know either.
Wait,
this is way too early for DSR to get derailed. Sorry, keep going, Adam.
It's as if you've never heard our show or something. So the other half of that is that Wayne and I are talking about doing a compilation of the first three issues. And the cool thing about that is that we want to get everybody who's been involved in the Metal Gods at all ever involved in that in one way or another. So like, again, we'll probably do it through Kickstarter because we want to release, you know, a really, you know, high quality hardcover book. We want to do like stretch goals for each of the, you know, other Metal Gods players who've been involved over the years, you know, to get them, you know, involved in one way or another. Like for the second issue, there was a bunch of stuff that Edgar wrote that didn't make it to the zine just because of page count. And we want to put that stuff back in. So many people are doing like end pages, you know, like illustrated end pages. And I think that's awesome. Why not do that? If you can afford it, do it. Right.
Yeah.
And so we want to do that. There's so many great artists who've been involved with Metal Gods over the years, like Diogo, obviously Doug and Wayne, you know, and so many great folks that I just love to, and even Bear. I don't know if you guys remember Bear Wojtek, but you know,
yeah.
Right. I mean, he kind of just disappeared off the scene, but if I want to, you know, this is like, we want to bring everybody back home, you know, and make it happen again.
James McGeorge. We can't forget James.
Oh, James McGeorge will absolutely have to be involved in some way or another. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. That's great, man. So obviously the listeners all know how Don and I know each other. We've waxed on slobbing each other off for four episodes. So
whoa,
four episodes. He's been on here four times and this is my first time. What is wrong with you? You so must really like the word I mean, that's what I'm saying.
I think that this is the fourth time, so it's only been three times before.
Yeah, now. This is the fourth.
Just saying. One. Yeah. Just saying. This all is, right. You know, you made some decisions that are questionable.
Oh, well, I always do. Obviously, I have spoken at length about Adam on the show as well, because he's the one who got me into, I wouldn't say online gaming, because I'm pretty sure we met in a Star Wars game, right?
We did. Yeah, you were an assassin droid, and I was the captain of a ship.
Worst Star Wars game ever.
No. Like, the only... I was the only one trying to, do the thing. Everybody else was pulling off in different directions. The only person who was close was... what was his name? He was playing a kid. Larry. Yep.
It was Larry, not Follow Me and Die, but Larry Moore, actually, right?
Larry Moore. Yeah. Yeah.
DWD. Is that what he does?
Yep. That's it. Basic. Awesome. What is it? Bare Bones Fantasy. Barebone. Yeah, that
pretty legitimate dude.
Yeah,
there were some other guys really cool in that game. Wayne Humphreit, Brian Tackle.
He was not in that game. Wayne was not in that game.
Are you sure?
No, he wasn't. Absolutely positive. It was Brian Tackle, the guys we've already mentioned, Greg Christopher, and then eventually Craig Brasco joined through a flashback that brought us up to the when you weren't around one day or something like that. There was a flashback that got Craig. That's how I met Craig.
Okay.
And that got Craig involved. But then that game, like as soon as it started to get good, it fell apart. And I think Brian just got bored with it. And that's when we started playing a different game that you then took over the DMership of, you know, eventually. So,
yeah, that's right. Jason Richardson also played because I can remember him using his blaster pistol constantly.
And who was the guy who was the Jawa?
I'm telling you, it was Wayne.
No, it wasn't. It was not Wayne.
I think it was.
It was not. I'm going to figure it out right now. Hold on.
Wayne Humphreit, call into the show. Let me know what you think. While he's looking, we're going to continue.
We all know that wasn't him.
I'm pretty sure it was. Let's talk about what games we've been playing recently. Don, you been playing anything?
I have not played a game in a while.
It's funny because you're always telling me how you're running Mothership. I don't know what's going on.
I was running Mothership, and then I took December off because there were too many commitments. So yeah, I was running. I've got some players. Craig Brasco is one of them.
Oh yeah,
We're running through Screaming on the Alexis, which is an adventure in Dead Planet. We're gonna start back up January 14th, I think is the date, and they're gonna be my play testers for the next Mothership adventure I'm writing, which has a working title of Hellship, I think.
Nice.
So they're gonna be my primary testers on that, and we're starting up soon. So yeah, I've got nothing more to add.
Nice. That's Adam, did you find who played in that game?
I'm almost there because he's the owner of the Star Wars RPG G+ group. So hold on.
Yeah, I have him on phone number. You want me to speak down?
You can, and you'll just learn that you're wrong faster. That's all.
All right. So I've been running my Kalmata live game, which is a live stream. See, I can't talk about it twice. You're right. I'll have to go to my other one. Anyway, I've been playing it quite a bit with some guys from England, which are hilarious, and Brasco and a lot of the guys that I normally play with. It's gotten pretty exciting. I don't know what it's in 75 to 100 sessions now. And people are finally latching on and deciding some things that they wanted to go towards. Cause it's a total open sandbox hex crawl that they can latch onto whatever they want to. And so that's pretty exciting.
That's pretty cool. I've been having a lot of the hex crawl Jones lately, you know.
Have to get into the game, brother.
You know, you said you were going to run it for us on a Wednesday, and then we can't get in touch with you on the Wednesdays when we don't have a quorum, you know?
What? Call me on my phone.
Do you have
my phone
number? I don't know if I do.
I know I got yours. I don't know what that says about us, but...
I got a new phone. That's what that says.
So the group I play with on Thursdays occasionally, Matt Jackson is also running his own sort of barrow maze game, which is set in his setting Prologue, which anyone can run a barrow.
That's what that word is in the show notes. It's like, what is that?
Yeah, Barrow Crypts. The Prologue Barrow Crypts.
I thought he was misspelling stuff too.
You thought I was hubzing?
I mean,
yeah.
There's a reason it's known that.
That's right. So what about you, Adam? What have you been doing?
So lately, I'm running a Mutant Crawl Classics game very erratically, just erratically because people just don't show up or whatever. That's been a lot of fun. It's me, Wayne, Gabriel. That's Wayne Snyder and Gabriel Perez Gishardi, with a couple of folks that I'm new to gaming with. My friend Emily, who I know from real life, I work with her. She plays in my live game, which I'll talk about in a minute. A couple of Wayne's friends, this guy named Wilson. I know he's got a first name, but I don't know what it is. And this other guy named Ike, again, not real familiar with his names other than that. I know his first name is actually like Isaac or something, but we just call him Ike. Just call him Ike. And I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but I don't think I am. But we've been playing Mutant Crawl Classics, and that's how I realized that Mutant Crawl Classics is like missing a lot of stuff to me. Like, I just don't feel like it's a complete game. So I started adding in all the stuff that I think it's missing. So expect a Mutant Goons of Ur-Hadad at some point. You know, maybe that's next year's stuff. I don't know. Nice. But I mean, by next year, I guess I mean 2020. We realized, like, I went into it thinking like, oh, this is going to be totally Thundar. We kind of played like for a few months and I realized this is totally not Thundar. This is Masters of the Universe. So that's the direction that's absolutely really? He-Man. it's really cheesy and fun. And that's been a lot. That's been a good time, you know? So yeah, I'm running that. I'm running DCC for folks at work because I work for a really weird company. I work for American Immersion Theater, which is the nation's largest network of improv theater troupes. I'm not an actor or anything. I work in sales, but the, you know, there's a lot of naturally theater attracts a lot of, you know, weird nerds and stuff, which is pretty great. A lot of those folks are totally into gaming, which is great. So I'm running DCC for those folks, and that's been a lot of fun. That's where how Emily and I started gaming together. And then right now, the rotating game on Wednesday night, you know, we have that rotating GMership that's been going on for a few years. I mean, how long is that game group going on, Hobbs? I mean, because that before you ran and hid from it, it was going on for a real long time.
Yeah.
We're doing right now is we're playtesting Gerardo to Sistro's Itza, which is a pre-Columbian RPG that is really neat, has some strange mechanics that are really fun. I get the feeling that the group that's playing it, because it's the current Wednesday night group, which is me, Gabriel again, Gerardo, obviously, Rob Shoemate, who is kind of new to online gaming. I guess he's been gaming with us for a little bit over a year now, so it's not that new anymore. My brother Phil, which I know some people might know, and Craig. I was like, I'm missing someone. Who is it? It's Craig. So we're all like weird mythic heroes in pre-Columbian world, which is really cool.
Yeah, Gerardo has been working on that for a while. I can remember him posting onto G+ for like a couple years ago, probably, about it. So I'm glad to see that some guys are getting to play it. It sounds cool.
It is. It's really neat. The mechanics are really interesting. Because you're always rolling 3d8. Everything you do, you're rolling 3d8. And the difficulties aren't static. They change too. But your level of skill determines what number, if you roll a certain number or lower, you can re-roll. So that's your level of skill. The higher the skill, the higher that number. And it tops out like around 6. But you actually want to roll low on some of the dice so you can add it, because they compound, right? So if you roll real low a bunch of times, that actually just boosts up your success margin, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think that means we just need to have a Spanish connection and get Gabriel and Gerardo on here to talk about that.
I don't know why you wouldn't, right? They're great guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love both of them. I actually gamed with them in the past with Greg Christopher.
You guys are going to have to make sure that Eric Jensen's wife just never hears that episode, because however much she likes Gabriel's voice, when she hears Gabriel and Gerardo, it's all going to be over. So shout out to Eric Jensen right there. So
we'll invite her to be on as well. Awesome. So here we are on Everything About You. So this is an episode part of the show that is probably one of your favorite bands, Ugly Kid Joe, I'm sure, Adam.
I actually had both their original like EP and their first album. The one where they did Born to Raise Hell. They re-released Everything About You, and they did a bunch of other shitty songs. So, yeah, I'm actually pretty familiar with awesome. Believe it or not.
All right, so I'll go back.
There's mine. I'm way more familiar with Ugly Kid Joe than I should ever be.
Than me, actually.
Yeah.
All right, Don, you got one?
Oh man, I forgot what I've already said because, you know, I've been on here 10 times, but, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I've decided.
Did you talk about your bees? Have you talked about your bees on here?
Oh man, my bees died again.
Oh man.
I'm going to get the honey in the spring, but yeah, they died.
Bees are rough.
Yeah. Bees. Yeah. It's my second.
Did you have any duck eggs this morning?
No, we got rid of the ducks because they were all rapey and stuff.
Ducks are creepy, man. They are super rapinist animals out there.
Yes, yeah. So I feel like we're falling into the true stories about ducks, and I don't think we should go there on this show.
True facts about ducks.
Other birds, then. I decided I want to start, I already have started, but I want people out there. Patreon is for losers. I'm starting Owlbearion, where you send me your owlbears. Because I'm going to have the largest collection of owlbear miniatures ever, but I want to buy them all. I don't want plushies.
Of a Patreon, then.
I was going to say, you're buying it from us instead of us giving.
No,
that's confusing.
I'm not buying it. People love me. They want to support me.
You just said you're going to pay for it.
No, I don't want to pay for it.
You just said that.
Well, I'm drinking.
All right. We got to keep this going. I'm going to talk briefly about the fact that,
you know, here's what I want to do. I want to do like a Patreon, except for those tiny liquor bottles. And you guys, if you want me to get drunk and talk at you on the internet, send me little liquor bottles.
Pay me in hotel liquor.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be from a hotel. I mean, you go to the good liquor store, you can get a bunch of shit. I've got a bunch of bottles over here from Iceland that Phil brought me back from his honeymoon that I've been meaning to have. That's an episode right there. Adam gets drunk on Icelandic liquor.
Nice.
All right. All right. That's a good one. I'm going to follow it up with my dumb Christmas dishwasher story that I purchased with poker money that I won on December 23rd, went out on Christmas Eve, bought a dishwasher and installed it. And on Christmas morning, my wife had a new dishwasher.
That's why you were doing the dishwasher when we tried to record. Got it. Okay. I understand.
That's where we were. Yeah. And maybe those dates are off, but it's close to that. It might've been the 23rd I installed it. I don't remember.
So
but
anyhow, I'll add another thing that people don't know about me probably is that in the 3 years that I have not been doing Metal Gods, I've been spending a lot of time woodworking.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah. And that's why I couldn't record last time we wanted to, was because I needed to work on the picture frames I was making for Christmas presents.
Mm, that makes sense.
They turned out really fucking great though. So it's all right.
Nice.
Awesome. All right, so let's get to the main topic.
Yeah, Hobbs, what are you drinking?
All right, so I quit drinking, as many listeners would know. I am drinking coffee. It's half calf, decaf, it's not decaf, but it's organic coffee from Just Coffee Co-op in Madison. My stepdaughter just moved there, and she is working at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and bought it for me for Christmas.
Nice.
So, Don, what are you drinking?
I saw the show notes and I was like, what? We're doing Drink Spin Run.
I kind of knew we were going to do Drink Spin Run. I was going to turn it into Drink Spin Run if it wasn't. So, yeah. You know, it's so okay.
From Griffin Claw, I've got Idiom, their Imperial Porter, and it's great. It's like 9.5%.
Ooh.
It's black. It's portery. You got to see the art for this. Just look it up.
What's it called again?
Griffin. Idiom. Did you call it Griffin Claw?
Is this like a Harry Potter thing? Where is Griffin Claw?
It's over yonder. Where the hell is it?
And what's the stuff called again?
Hogwarts.
It's in Birmingham.
And what's the stuff called?
Idiom. Imperial Porter.
Okay, I gotta look this up.
The art is sweet, but the beer is better.
All right, there you go.
Nice. How about you, Adam?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Grand Armory in Grand Haven, Michigan, because this is. We're taking over Hobbs' podcast now, so all beer must be from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking Nutter Your Business. It's a peanut butter stout. It's
good.
Crazy good, man. It's not even like super peanut buttery. It's like just enough, man.
Just enough.
It's really nice. My wife picked this up at our local fancy beer place, and it's fantastic.
I didn't realize they were in Grand Haven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just like an hour north of me.
Yeah,
dude, I have never heard of Griffin Claw. Are we just letting it go by that there's a name of two Hogwarts schools of magic or whatever?
Yes.
Put together.
Yeah, because it's not close enough to be like a coincidence, Hob.
Gryffindor and Ravenclaw.
Yeah, big deal. Oh, I see. Like Griffins have claws. Like, do you think that all Griffins with claws are suddenly like some kind of shout out to Harry Potter? Because I'm not convinced, man.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You need to think this through a little bit better.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Harry Potter stuff. I don't get what you're saying. No, dude.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Move
Don,
on.
Don, what are you spinning?
This mix CD that one of DSR's friend of the show's. Yes.
Jethro Wall. Waltz. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's a great mix.
He sent it to me like a month ago, and man, I can't. It's in my car. Every time I get in, I just, bam, it's on.
See, I've been listening to that in the wood shop. It's great music to destroy wood too.
Yeah.
So you guys are both wanting the same thing?
Yeah. Well, no, that's not mine, but that's not what I'm calling out. But.
Go ahead, Adam, finish up. Or go ahead, Don, finish up.
No, that's it. That's what I've been. That's the only thing I've been like in my car. Bam.
Nice. I like it. Adam.
So let's see here. There's like two different directions that I've been listening to a lot of stuff in. Now, James McGeorge got me really heavily into Borin and Der Club of Gore a few years ago. And that just really has taken over my listening a lot lately, along with a lot of old school hip hop. But in like more recent stuff, I just got into Sun Sisano's new album Submerge, just came out like a couple of weeks ago. It's really solid. It's, let's see, where are they from? I'm trying to remember. It's like instrumental, like heavy psych. They're from Switzerland. It's really, really solid. It's a little riffier than It's I guess that's not right. It's, I mean, all Doom stuff is riffy, but you know, it moves a little bit faster than you know, a lot of like the Doom stuff, because it's, you know, more heavily psych than anything else. Pretty good. Very much enjoying that.
Nice. Do you want to talk about the other direction as well?
Oh, the old school hip hop? I mean, yeah, sure. No. I mean, it's not really new. It's stuff that, you know, you could just easily find out there. But I have been listening to a ton of Lords of the Underground. I don't know if you guys ever remember them, but I kind of went on a Tribe Called Quest thing for a while. And that got me into like a lot of different things that I had previously heard before. But obviously with Fife Dog's death, you know, that became, you know, pretty heavy rotation. Mm-hmm. And then their new album. But the Lords of the Underground are really solid. I got, you know, I've been listening to The Far Side like every day because nice. Strange Trip to the Far Side is quite possibly one of the greatest albums ever recorded. It's right up there with Angel Dust for me. So by Faith No More. So I highly recommend that album. It's just fantastic.
Nice.
How about you, Hobbs? What have you been spinning?
Adele. So I'm listening to really Adele.
Nope. Not for a while. The newest one I didn't like, but that's funny because I used to be a big Adele fan.
You remember to, yeah.
Yeah. So really? Now, I got two things to say. First of all, since I survived Whamageddon, I've had White Christmas on repeat.
Movie?
And then, no, the song by Wham. Do you know what Whamageddon is?
Yes, I do
is?
Know what Whamageddon is, but that's, it's Last Christmas.
Oh, that's not the name of the song. Last Christmas. Like, that's so you know I'm lying. Mostly I do listen to podcasts during work, though, and trying to keep up with all of the OSR anchor casts, almost impossible. It's funny because DSR is one of the shows that got me into listening to podcasts. And I did, I started listening some of the episodes to get prepared for the show today. See, this is preparation. Oh. I would say if anyone doesn't listen to any of the anchor casts that the OSR guys are on, one of the best one is by Colin Green called Spike Pit. Check that out. Tim Shorts does another called Gothridge Manor.
Go figure.
Yeah,
Tim, thank you for having consistent net marketing. It's nice. Yeah, no, it is actually, yeah, it's good. You know, thank you. I meant that actually. That was, I mean, I know no one's used to me being like sincere. Everyone expects me to be a smartass all the time. But
me too. Ray Otis does Plundergrounds, also well named. So if you ever have some time and you feel like listening to some podcasts, check those out. That's it, I guess.
So Hobbs, what are you reading?
I don't know if I mess up this.
No,
order.
You're right.
This is the order you guys normally use. Right. So I was invited to be on Appendix N Book Club with Jeff Goad and Hoy.
Yeah.
And the book that we are I already finished, but I had read it on my Kindle. So
it counts. Don't worry.
I was like, it counts, but I feel bad because they always talk about the art and you know, what you read on the back. And so I ordered hopefully I get it and I'll read it again before it starts, but I'm reading Fred Saberhagen's The Broken Lands.
No.
You guys ever read it?
Is that one of the trilogy?
Yeah. Well, it's not the Book of Swords, which he's probably most known in my circles. Yeah. It's more of a sci-fi post-apocalyptic Empires of the East is the name of the trilogy. Yes.
Is it the second book in that trilogy? First. All right. Yeah. I actually read those. I read Changeling Earth first, and then I got the whole trilogy and I read them all again. And yeah, that was, it's a cool little series.
I was actually kind of impressed because I remember liking Book of Swords, but it's kind of not as old as it has that clinical feel of a lot of the sci-fi does.
Right.
It's still kind of almost natural vocabulary when they speak, you know, their actually discourse is almost natural, but it's interesting. I feel like I'm watching a Jim Ward Metamorphosis Alpha game when they're talking about technology and stuff, because it kind of has that Metamorphosis Alpha or Gamma World
feel. It's on the Appendix M of Mutant Crawl Classics, right?
I don't know. Is it?
Believe it is. Yeah. And I think you mentioned the Book of Swords. That's like 1,000 years after the Broken Lands and everything.
Oh, really?
It's in the same world.
All right, I think so. This is great information because I listened to some of the Appendix N Book Club to prepare for the show. And a lot of the guys they have on there, like Terry Olson, Mark Bruner, these guys really know their fucking shit. And so I'm like, what the hell? I asked Jeff, I'm like, why do you have me on this? Because I don't know shit. I'm just going to make fun of you guys. And well, that's why we have you on. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. We're good
exposure
then.
Exposure Hobbs. They just want your audience.
Well, I hope they get it. Adam, what are you reading?
Right now I'm reading the sequel to The Hangman's Daughter, which I talked about reading like in a later episode of DSR. It's historical fiction set in Bavaria in like the 1600s. No.
Wonderful.
Yeah, maybe early 1600s. It's like after that war that Raji's always writing about with Sweden. Yeah. But it's really neat. They do these really cool mysteries. So they're like historical mysteries that that happen. And the second one's called The Black Monk. And they're like, they're trying to solve a murder and find this like hidden Templar treasure. It's pretty cool. The first book was all about sorting out how someone wasn't actually a witch and behind, again, murders, because mystery's got to have murder in it. Right. So it's a lot of fun. Honestly, since I have a really long commute, I do a lot of like audiobooks as well. So however, I hate the narrator on the audiobook of this series. He's just really boring. But the books themselves are fantastic.
Awesome. Don, what are you reading?
I am on the last book in the Book of the New Sun.
Oh, okay.
By Gene
Wolfe. Really?
I forgot what it was called because I have the doubles where it's the first book, second book in one, and the third book, fourth book. So it's just like them the same title, you know? But yeah, I haven't been plowing through those. Those are kind of a slow read sometimes. There were a few nights where I was in the third book and it was just putting me to sleep. And someplace in the middle of the second book, I was like, I'm too dumb to read these because I feel like I'm missing a lot of what he's trying to say. But then I stopped worrying about it and just let it wash over me like the gentle, warm rains.
Do you feel like spring. It started to make sense then when you just did that by the end of it, instead of trying to figure it out while you're reading?
You know, what helps a lot. And I wish I would have done it earlier is at the end of like the first two, there's shit that really like the afterward, it breaks down like, oh, this is like, you know, I say it's this animal, but it's some animal from the stars that has been brought down and resembles this mystical animal of history or whatever. So I'm like, oh, that's fucking dope as hell. No, I love them. Like, it's another like Dying Earth type setting. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar, if you've read them, but they're fun.
I feel like I have read some Gene Wolfe, but I don't know if it's that book.
I read the first one and I loved the beginning and I hated how it ended so much.
Well, then you'll hate the second one because it picks up months after that. And I started it. I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about. So I actually went back and reread the first one because it had been like a year. I'm like, shit, I have to go reread this. And I think I had a couple that I passed on to, I don't know if I gave them to Wayne Snyder or Jarrett Crater, but I've been giving books away.
Good for you.
I'm about to start giving more books away just because I had a bunch of duplicates on my shelves, really. I built a new bookshelf and... Anyway, so that's what I'm reading. I'm probably like halfway done with the last book. So I'm excited to be done with that. And I'm going to move back into some crazy military sci-fi. Yeah.
Oh, aren't we calling the Mothership stuff Appendix N as well or no? Appendix M, I mean. No, we talked about this.
Yeah, we were like, we could call it Appendix M, but I think we're just calling it the Appendix N of Mothership.
Oh, okay. That's lame as shit. I love it.
Which... Gene Wolfe isn't in good. There.
Okay. No, but
it's mostly just movies because there aren't a lot of like sci-fi horror, books.
Oh,
like
we should write some.
Aliens. I don't know if I want to write books.
Oh, okay. I don't blame you either. I just want to talk on podcasts because it's way less work.
It's totally less work.
Yeah. You don't even have to prepare. You don't have to write anything.
Yeah.
You can talk.
I loved the way that first Gene Wolfe book started. And if that book had stayed about like an executioner cloistered away in some kind of, you know, tower, it would have been amazing. He had to ruin it by doing world building and it was awful.
Right. The thing I like about it is the world building is like him reading a story from another book. And like the whole next chapter is like that chapter from a book, or like it's in the second book, I think. The whole chapter is this dumbass play that he's acting in, and it's written like a play. I'm like, this is so stupid and boring, but that's how he kind of does his world building in the other books. So it's kind of neat.
It reminds me of that Ur-Hadad session when Gabriel Ray and my character were at that play
I've run that. I can't tell you how many times at like different conventions and everybody deals with everything completely different. It's been a blast. The only thing that is consistent is that you guys are the only ones who actually saved the Grand Vizier's brother. Everybody else let him die. It was pretty interesting. I mean, not purposefully, but you know.
Is it always the shoveler?
Shoveler's always involved. Yeah. Shoveler is always the bad guy.
And you still do the race and the whole thing, or just the opera scene?
Do the what?
Because we had a race. Wasn't there a race?
That
was later.
I also run that separately. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say that seems like a lot to do in a concept.
No, it was just the opera, Night at the Opera segment of that story. I have done the Night in the Lucre Warren, a day at the races, and a day or a night at the opera all separately.
Nice. The only question is Percy ever involved?
No.
You don't even remember that.
No, nope. That's all you, man. The Gloaming Deeps guys, they have shown up in every Ur Haddad campaign and many like non-directly related Ur Haddad like gaming sessions. They've shown up. Like they're going to be in issue 6, the mysterious gods of Ur Haddad, because, nice. You know, they're weirdos. So
I think we're going to skip the what are you running? And we pretty much covered it earlier. Yeah. In the intro. Yeah. And this is enough like weird esoteric stuff that we're talking about and pretty inside that like no one else is going to understand. So we should probably move on.
Well, all that's left is the stuff that you do. And I'm not even involved in that. Why would I want to move on?
You will be. I'll include you. Cut all that, Brasco. All right. So I want to give some appreciation to my patrons of the show, Hobbs and Friends. First of all, one that I don't know. Do you know Rick? I don't know if you know Rick.
Don would be the one who doesn't know Rick, because Rick is the chairman.
Yes, I actually know Rick. I actually know Rick Hall because I met him in a DCC booth.
Oh, that makes Origins sense. Once. Yeah.
And he introduced himself and I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally know you. And yeah, it was nice. He seems awesome.
All right. Anyway, so Rick Hall,
really nice guy.
Rick Hall is our first patron we're going to give a call out to. And then some guy named Nick, who I have no idea who that is, but I super appreciate your patronage, sir. And then Tim Shorts, we were just mentioning him from Cottage Manor. Yeah, so thanks Tim, Nick, and Rick Hull. Does DSR still have a patron?
Yeah.
I don't think we collect.
Yeah, we're changing how that all works, right? If we start doing new episodes. We're going to move it all to like a paper episode when it releases rather than, you know, pay by the month, because that's not fair to people if we're not doing stuff, you know?
Yeah, I get you. Mine is a monthly one as well. So, all right. So if you wanted to reach me on Twitter, at Hobbs Indeed. The show has its own Twitter feed, at OSR and Hobbs. And if you wanted to become a patron, like all the other awesome people I just mentioned, you should go to www.patreon.com/OSR and Hobbs. So if someone wanted to talk about drinking with you, Don, how would they reach you?
Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook at DONNSTROUD and also Twitter at DONN. My name. It's at my name, all right?
That was really confusing.
I'm not even mention Google Plus. Yeah. tweet at me at Don Stroud and send me your owl bears.
Where are they going to send these? Are you got like an email you want to give out or something?
They can tweet me or email me first. It's awesome.
Direct message you on FB.
Stroud.
All right.
Yeah, they can get a hold of me and get my address and I'll take your owl bears. You don't want them anymore. Bring them out of the cold.
I think we need like a wooden phallic owl bear for them, Adam.
I'll make you an owl bear. You got
one,
it. Adam. No problem.
Sculpt me one from your wood.
All right, buddy. How would we reach you if we want to talk about the ministry of Kickassistan?
I mean, Google Plus is still a good way to get in touch with me while it's still there. I guess I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. There is a DSR page on on Facebook, as well as Metal Gods page there too. So you can check those things out every once in a while. I pay attention to them. I guess I've been doing a little bit of Twitter lately because goodbye G+. I mean, that's what happens when we have nice things, right? They don't last. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm AJ Miskevich there. So Hobbs will put that in the show notes so you know how to spell it. But
mm-hmm. No, you can type it in there. That's why this is editable.
What? Oh, I see. I got it. Yeah, I'll put that on there.
This page.
Sure.
Thank you.
They're edible.
These notes.
Notes
are edible.
That's legal here in Michigan now, so edible. It's great.
Yeah, nice.
I didn't realize it was plug time. It's totally
plug time. Oh, keep your eye on Kickstarter for stuff coming from Metal Gods, but you know you're probably going to get some hype there on the Facebook and Twitter about that coming up soon. So,
well, I did talk about having all the Metal Gods on the show at one time, so that would be a perfect place. A perfect time.
No one would. It would be like everybody talking over everyone great, right? All the time.
Don,
it would be great. My plug is also for this Kickstarter zine thing. Tuesday Night Games is going to release Pound of Flesh, I believe it's called. Written by Chance Phillips. And what am I doing? I'm developing it. I'm adding some shit. I'm co-writing, kind of. That's going to be a whole thing during that same month. The Kickstarter, because Mothership stuff is zine sized. So yeah, that was my only plug. And Psychota Press, of course.
Yeah, why don't you write that down in the show notes section down there, the area below. And then Chance Phillips, I think I just got the PDF of his Kickstarter that finished.
Which one?
What was that called? Someone want to pronounce that zine for me? His zine, I don't know. Yeah, like,
what is it? DCC.
Phantasmagoria
or something. Does that make sense?
It's something like that, I think, but I don't know if that's right. Anyway, I guess.
That dude's prolific.
Yeah, you can find the community. Join up with any of the places, Audio Dungeon Discord, MeWe, Facebook, Google Plus. You know what to do.
I mean,
you
know surprisingly, how to do it. No.
Any last words, Adam? That is surprising, Don.
Oh, tiny bottles of liquor. Send me tiny bottles of liquor, and I'll drink it on YouTube for you. I promise.
Oh, I think you have to come up with a nice opening to your show. That's a take off tiny bottles, but it's tiny bottles. I don't think that needs to
happen. Nope. You're out.
That's crap. All right, boys. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
This outro track was generously provided by the band Blue Snaggletooth. Please visit bluesnaggletooth@bandcamp.com for more.